And the topic of Pesach Sheni primarily starts at the very end of the Masechta, namely Daf Tzadik Beis, the ninth parak, Tzadik Beis Amud Beis. There's a little bit beforehand also, but the ninth parak is where the Mishnah over there starts a more comprehensive discussion, the halachas of Pesach Sheni. But the first appearance, anyone know what the first appearance and maybe the most significant practical appearance of Pesach Sheni is in the Masechta? You have to be learning the first part to get this one. Okay. Dav Vav. Maybe you guys know this Baal Peh. Mara says in Dav Vav, famous halacha, that if I leave my house within 30 days of the beginning of Pesach, then I have to do bedikah. I'm sure you all did a bedikah in your dorm rooms without a bracha, because we did it earlier this year. If I leave within 30 days prior to Pesach, and it's not the actual zman of the bedikah, then I do bedikah without a bracha. Correct? Everyone knows the halacha. So how do I know that? Mara says that these 30 days, that shir is essentially a manifestation of the concept of sholem v'dorshim pechos v'pesach kodem ha-pesach. That within that window of 30 days prior to yontif, there's already a chiyuv sholem v'dorshim to be osek in the halachas. And as Rashi tells us, once there's a halacha to be osek in the dinim of Pesach, so it's already supposed to be on your mind. The Torah expects it to be on the radar, and therefore I already have an obligation klapei my chametz and the house that I'm living in to make sure that it's clear in time for Yontif. But if I leave before the 30-day window prior to Pesach, so then I'm not obligated to do bedikah whatsoever, as long as I don't plan on going back to that location on Pesach. Beseder? Okay, so that's the Gemara. You guys saw this? Daf Vav? No? Sholin v'darshim v'helchus ha-Pesach kol dema Pesach shloshim yom. So, Frank Gemara, where do you get that shear of 30 days from? So, Gemara has a few suggestions. And towards the end of the Sugan of Vav Amud Beis, about midway through the Amud, the Gemara derives it from a pasuk that appears in Bamidbar. Klal Yisrael are traveling through the desert, and they have a mitzvah of Korban Pesach in the second year, the year after they left Mitzrayim. And of course, once they receive that command, there are two individuals who complain to Moshe Rabbeinu that we are not able to bring the Korban Pesach because we're Tamei. There are different opinions as to who they were, people who were carrying the Aron Shel Yosef, or maybe it was Mishra Val Tzafon who became Tamei. In this week's Parsha, Parsha Shemini, by removing the bodies of Nadav and Avihu from the Mishkan after they died, during the dedication of the Mishkan. But be that as it may, you had these Anoshim, Vahi Anoshim Asher Hayu Tumeim L'Nefesh Adam. It was about to be Pesach, and the Korban Pesach was to be brought, and they were telling me, what are we supposed to do? They come to Moshe and Aaron, and they're told, don't worry, Hashem has plan B for you. Next month, Pesach Sheni, you'll have the chance to make it up and to bring a Korban in ER. Okay, so from here we learn, since Moshe Rabbeinu is there in Nisan, and he's giving the command for 1 month from now in Chodesh Iyar, that teaches us within 30 days of a Pesach, Shom V'Darshim, Bechus HaPesach, Kodem HaChag, Shoshim Yom. Alright, so that's all learned from the introductory Parsha of Pesach Sheni. Okay? I'm proposing, make sense? Okay, so let's turn to our primary sugya, Tzadik Beis Amud Beis. And as I think you'll remember from the Pesukim, if you look over there in Baal Osecha, where the Torah talks about individuals who have the ability to bring a Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, in Iyar, so there are two specific circumstances that are outlined in the Torah. It may not be limited to those, but there are two examples that are limited. Anyone know what those two scenarios are when a person brings a Korban Pesach Sheni and not the first Korban Pesach first time around? Come on, Aryeh. You know this.
When they're Tamei.
Okay. Mace. That was a giveaway. Okay. Tamei Mace for sure, right? That's what the Torah is actually discussing. What's the second example?
When they're not there, when they're traveling.
Exactly. Exactly, 100%. The Pasuk talks about someone who was Tamei and someone who was on a Derech Rechoka. Okay? Okay, we'll have to see. We'll touch upon it tonight. But what you might think is a derech rechoka, if you guys turn for 1 second, Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, there's a Mishnah right in the middle of the Amud, Tzadik Gimel Beis, Eidu derech rechoka. Okay, so I don't know, 10 miles, 20 miles, 100 miles. What's the derech rechoka? Zok the Mishnah, Eidu derech rechoka min hamodiim v'lochutz u'kmidasa l'chol ruach. We draw a radius from Yerushalayim to the town of Modiim, and that same distance. That same radius in all directions, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Miyaskufas Azara L'chutz. Rabbi Eliezer says, as long as he's just not at the threshold of the Azara, he's not, he could be on Harbais, but he's not in the Azara. He could be that far away, and you're already on a Derech Rechoka. Okay? Sounds like a big Chiddush. Okay? The Mishnah says, Amar Le Rabbi Yosi, L'filach Noker Al Hey, Lomar Lomne Sharachok Vadai El Miskuvas Azar Luchot. That's why, if you look in the Pasuk, there is a Nakud, there's a dot on top of the letter. Look at Rashi. Nakud Al Hey Shabarachoka. The word Rachoka, the Hey, has a dot on top of it. Chol Nikud Lemait Adavar Ba Demashma Samyuha Laha Teva Mehacha. The implication of a dot on top of a Pasuk, top of a word in a Pasuk, top of a letter in a Pasuk, is to suggest as if we should ignore that letter, and it's coming to be memait. So even though the simple reading of Derech Rechoka should be much much further beyond the entrance of the Azara, but the hint of the dot in the pasuk is otherwise. Okay, we're not going to talk about that right now. But Lamaisa, it's not so far to be exempt from Korban Pesach if you're not there. It was normal for everyone to be there, to be in Yerushalayim, to be Ola Regel, to bring the Korban Pesach. But if you're a little bit far away, you're off the hook. Guys may have seen, if you learned it on Daf Gimel, and it comes up again on Daf Ches, if a person doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, he may not have to be Ola Regel or bring the Korban Pesach altogether. Because that's certainly that's Derech Rechoka, and he's not part of the Kohol, the Shachlo So Kohol Kohol Das Yisrael. Okay, so let's do the Mishnah. Sari Beis Amar Beis. Everyone with me? You got the place? Ari, you have a question? Yeah.
Would they be chayiv in Pesach Sheni, or their patzer is like the klal?
You mean someone who's living in Chutz La'aretz?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Achronim discusses there. I think it's fair to say there is evidence that would suggest that they may not be chayiv in Pesach Sheni either, because I cut myself off because I didn't want to get onto too much of a tangent. But you hit the nail on the head. Because otherwise, what's the chiddush? I told you, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, if you live in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have property in Eretz Yisrael, so then you're putter from. But I already told you, you're putter if you're in a derech rechoka. You don't have to be that far away. Could be if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're not included in the chiyuv altogether. Okay, you can see over there on Daf Gimel and Beis. There's a story of one of the Tanaim. You guys know the story? It's worth it to see the story. Very very interesting. Mike's the Gemara has Gimel and Beis. Let's say. You see, there's a Tosos Me'alya Mikasafalach. So, move over to the left, and the story begins with Hahu Arma'a. You have it there, Dov? You have it?
Yeah.
All right. You okay, Dovi?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, just making sure you're all right. All right, so here's the story. Hahu Arma'a, there was an Aramean, a non-Jewish guy. He had this little secret. Every year, he would go up to Yerushalayim, and he would just get online like everybody else, as if he was a Jew. I don't know, maybe he put a yarmulke on, I don't know. Okay, and he would just pretend as if he was any other Jewish man coming to the Beis HaMikdash, v'achol p'sachim Yerushalayim, and he would get a Korban Pesach, shechted for him, maybe he would join a chabura, and he would eat from the Korban Pesach. Okay, Omar, then he would go home to wherever he lived. The Gemara later says he lived in a place called Netzivan. And he would brag to his friends in the bar. He would say, it says in the Torah, Ksiv kol ben necha lo yochabo, kol ara lo yochabo. Torah says that someone who is not Jewish should not eat from the Korban Pesach. And someone who doesn't have a bris milah shouldn't eat from the Korban Pesach. V'ano! And I, hakachilna mishufri shufri. And I ate from the best of the best, the most tastiest meats of the Korban Pesach. That's how he brags to his friends. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira overheard this conversation at some point. He found out about this guy. So he gives him a little, he He starts playing with him a little. He says, "Mika safalach me'alya." He said, "You're convinced you had the best of the meat of the Korban Pesach. Did they give you a little bit of the fat of the tail of the Korban? That is the ultimate cut of Korban Pesach. If you have that, then you've had the best of the best. But until then, you know, go back and ask for the better part." So he says, "All right, sounds good." Amar lehu, I'm sorry. So then the next line, the Gemara says, "Amar lehu, I never had that." Kikas hakas lahasam aim lehu safalim me'alya. So he says, "Trust me. Go back to the Beis Hamikdash next Pesach. When you go to the Beis Hamikdash, ask them for the Aliyah. You won't be disappointed." Fine. Ki Salik, when he goes back to Yerushalayim, Amar Lahu, may Aliyah suffer. He said, "Please give me some of the Aliyah." Amar Le, Aliyah L'Gavoha Saka. The people who he said that to said, "Wait a minute. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? If you know a little bit about the Korban Pesach, the Aliyah, the tail fat, actually gets burned on the Mizbeach. It's not eaten by anybody." Right, the mizbeach is not a barbecue. You don't take the food of the carbon that's meant to be eaten and roast it on the mizbeach. There were other places, there were kitchens, or people roasted at home sometimes, depending on what the carbon was. The mizbeach was burning the things that people didn't eat, the fats and the limbs and that type of those components of the animal. So they were asking each other, like, what is this guy thinking? Why is he asking for the aliyah? Isn't that a little bit strange? You're supposed to put that on the mizbeach. So when they heard that, Amrulay, they said to him, "Man Amr lachachli, who told you to ask for the ayah?" Amrulay, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. So he starts his name dropping. He's like, "Well, hey, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira told me to ask for it, so it must be it's a good idea. It must be it's kosher." Amru, my high to come on. So they amongst themselves, they said, "What's going on over here? Who is this guy?" Bud Kubasre. So they hired a private investigator. They did a little research and they found out Ashkechud Armahu. They found out that he was in fact not Jewish, but katlu, and they killed him. Shalom lecha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. They sent the message. They said, "Peace be unto you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira." The at ben Netzivin umtudascha prusu b'Yerushalayim. They used an expression. They said, "You're there in Netzivin, and your net, your trap is spread here in Yerushalayim. And you were able to with this long distance strategy apprehend the enemy." Okay, so that's the story. Very interesting story. But Tosfos and all the Rishonim ask, you know, like, there's one little detail that you missed. Like, where is Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira? Why is he not in Yerushalayim like everybody else? Right? How come he wasn't there firsthand? Why was he, you know, like, all the way back in Netzivan with this plan? So Tosfos says he was not Ol Regel because he did not have Karka in Eretz Yisrael, one possibility, or he was too old, and someone who was too old to make the trip for Alila Regal does not have to go. And Tulsa suggests that if you don't own Karka, even if you do live in Eretz Yisrael, but if you don't own Karka, or you're too old, you don't have to perform Alila Regal, maybe the same din is true, Korban Pesach and Alila Regal. Or Inami. Aria, the end of the Tulsa is Inami, about four lines up. Netzivin Chutz La'aretz. Perhaps Netzivin was in Chutz La'aretz. And that's all he says. Tulsa says, what emerges if it's in Chutz La'aretz? Implication is, if you are in Chutz La'aretz, you do not have an obligation to come in the first place. Forget about Derech Rechoka. You're just out of the picture. So this is a much longer story, but I'll tell you just quickly, because it's almost in Yonah Dioma. The Karen Ora and other Achronim explain, when the Torah tells us to bring the Korban Pesach, it says, V'shachtu aso kol kahal adas Yisrael, the entire kahal, the entire congregation of Klal Yisrael will bring the Korban. That term kahal, in different places in the Torah, don't simply refer to, like, you know, the broad population, but there's reason to believe that it refers specifically to the people living in Eretz Yisrael, as if to suggest who's the real, you know, will the real Klal Yisrael stand up? Who are the real Jews who are counted? The real Jews who are counted are the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone else, okay, they're Jewish, but they're not part of this category known as kahal. And for our example right now to be included in the Korban Pesach, I'll give you an illustration of this. If you're in a place where there are 600,000 Jews together, right? Gemara Brachos, what happens? What special phenomenon exists when you are in a place with 600,000 Jews together?
You make a bracha.
Make a bracha. What's a bracha?
I read it last night, actually, but I don't remember it.
Aryeh, okay, we'll give you a pass. The bracha is Chacham Harazim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates so many people, and only He knows the secrets that makes each person tick, the particulars of their DNA that makes each person who they are and what they look like and their personality, their intellect, and so forth. You can have hundreds of thousands of people in one place, but Hashem creates each one of them, as an individual. We've had in recent years, Rabbi Yosef's Levaya had maybe 1 million people, 900,000, 1 million people, something like that. Rabbi Yashiv also had a very, very high number, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews. The Rambam writes, listen to this Chiddush, the Rambam writes that din of making the bracha on 600,000 Jews is only if those 600,000 Jews are in one place in Eretz Yisrael. You can have a massive, I don't know, Siyum HaShas and whatever stadium holds 600,000 people. I don't think it exists, but you would not make the bracha. You wouldn't make the bracha because the 600,000 is representative of the number of all of Klal Yisrael, right, who left Mitzrayim. And that definition, that category, that designation of Kol Klal Yisrael is only in one last chiddush of, I think Rav Kook says like this. Ready for this? We know that there are three averos, chamuros. Person's not allowed to commit, even if they are about to be killed. Right? Yehari v'yavor, gilui arayish, shfichas damim, and avodah zarah. Is there any exception to that rule? Is there any case where a person can opt to do one of those averos, and it will not be considered, and I'm sorry, and they don't give up their life instead? So we have a character in Tanakh, maybe two, but at least one character in Tanakh who the Achronim point to as having been a real life example where they took action in one of the Gimel Chamuros, and nevertheless did not give up their life. It's really, what do you say?
I'm here, Rebbe. Someone came into my room just now, but I don't know if they want it because they just walked in and walked out.
Okay, you should tell them to stay. Tell them to stay. Join the Chabura.
To come back, but I don't know.
Okay, here's the Shiloh. Here's the Shiloh. Who in history, who in Tanakh, committed one of the three most serious averos rather than giving up their life?
I'm thinking Esther, but wasn't she
Yes!
like.
Yes, exactly. All right, you got it. Yeah.
Wasn't that like a ball carousel? So, like, that, and like her with Mordechai, that also like solves an issue of, yeah.
I'll summarize what you're saying. If you assume, and the Gemara says this, right, that Esther and Mordechai were married, she was an Eishes Ish, and therefore, yes, she was taken against her will to the palace, but like the Gemara says in Megillah, once she willingly went to Achashverosh, because that was the plan, right? She had to approach Achashverosh to ask for mercy or to invite him to the party, whatever. So at that point, Esther says, "Now I'm going on my own volition," right? What do you mean? You should have to die before doing that. So some Achronim say, because even though you have to give up your life in order to avoid one of those averos, if what's at stake is not just your life, but the lives of all of Klal Yisrael, for all of Klal Yisrael, to save all of Klal Yisrael, you need to perform one of those averos. Maybe not Avodah Zarah. Rav Kook says maybe not Avodah Zarah, but certainly Shvichas Damim and Gilui Arayos, you see that from Esther. Okay? So I believe Rav Kook adds a cherry on top. How do you define who is all of Klal Yisrael? Does it mean every Jew in the world? Maybe not. Maybe it's sufficient if it's all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Those are also the conglomeration of what we refer to as Klal Yisrael. Okay, everybody with me? Let's actually learn some Pesach Sheni here. Zok the Mishnah, Sadi Beis Hamidbeis Mishnah Tamei Obedar Chorchoka V'lo Asas Harishon Yaseh Es Hasheni. Someone who was Tamei when Erev Yontif comes along, 14th of Nisan, he's Tamei or he's Bederach HaChokah, and he did not perform the first carbon, Pesach Rishon, Yaseh Sasheni. He does bring the carbon on the second opportunity on Pesach Sheni in Iyar. Shagag onenas v'lo asas harishon. If he was due to some shogeg, okay, he woke up that morning and he just forgot that it was Erev Pesach. Onenas, or there was some other ones that that made it impossible for him to make it to Yerushalayim to perform the karbon. Or maybe he was there, but some other ones, he was sick and he just couldn't get out of bed. V'lo asas harishon, he couldn't do the first karbon. Yasas harishon, he does the second one. Okay, so what does that mean? Means that even though the Torah enumerates, number one, Tame, number two, Derech Chokha, it's actually more general. It could be any type of Shogeg or Ones. Also, you're off the hook, Pesach Rishon, and you bring in Pesach Sheni. All right, now, most important, the Gemara is going to tell us, to be off the hook, so to speak, is significant for another reason. Right? Why is that significant? Explains the Mishnah. If it's correct that a tame or a derech chokah are exempt, but also other onsen are exempt as well, then why do you single out those two? Why do you single out those two? Answers the Mishnah: She'elu patur me'ikaris ve'elu chayav me'ikaris. Because there's some categories of a person who missed a carbon Pesach Rishon and their Chayv Karis, and another category of someone who missed the date and they are their Potter. There's no Karis for missing Karb Pesach. Okay, so everyone see what just happened? The Gemara tells, the Mishnah says, there's two examples in the Mishnah, Tamei and Derech Rechoka, they're exempt, but truth is, other examples of someone who is out of his control, Shogeg or Ones, also, they're going to bring Pesach Sheni. What's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is Karis, or not Karis. What does that mean? What does that mean? So we know that there's two mitzvahs asay that are chayv karis. How many los asays are chayv karis? Anyone know? It's a good Jewish number. Okay, don't say 18. 36. Okay, 2 times 36. I'm sorry, 2 times 18, 36. Where do I find, quick reference, that list of 36 krisos? You guessed it, the very first Mishnah in Maseches Krisos. Okay? Take a look at that first Mishnah. 36 Krisos and 2 mitzvahs asay. So truly 38 altogether. 36 negative commandments, 36 averos, and 2 mitzvahs asay. One is Karban Pesach, the other one is? What's the other mitzvah that if you don't perform the mitzvah, you get karis? Come on, guys. You gotta know this. You want me this chabura? Okay? Brismila, guys. Okay? Brismila and Karban Pesach. 2 mitzvahs to say that are chayv karis. So, if you miss the Karban Pesach Rishon, you'd be chayv karis. But you bring Karban Pesach in Pesach Sheni. But the Mishnah tells us that there's a difference between Derech Rechoka and other onsen, Tami Derech Rechoka and other onsen, vis-a-vis the chayv karis. So, what exactly is that? What is that distinction? So, let me share with you what the Rambam says is the distinction. Okay, the Rambam right here in his Pirush on the Mishnah tells us the following. He says that there's a basic difference depending on why you missed the Karban. If you missed it because of Tamin Derech Rechoka, the examples that the Torah lists, surely with me? Okay? So I missed Pesach Rishon because I was Tamin or Derech Rechoka. What happens when now Pesach Sheni comes and b'mezid. Say b'mezid the guy doesn't bring the Korban Pesach. Then what happens to him? What would you say? What are our options, right? So he missed the first opportunity and now we give him a second opportunity. So he missed it again. B'mezid. So the Rambam says a very interesting halacha. The Rambam says if you miss the first Pesach because of Tamiv Derech Rechoka, and then you miss the second opportunity b'mezid, the din is you're still pater from karis. If I miss the first opportunity because of some other onus, my alarm didn't go off, or I forgot that it was Erev Pesach, okay, it wasn't my fault, and then I purposefully miss Pesach Sheni, then I am chayv karis. Ari, you hear the chilek? Dove, you hear the chiluk? I okay, good. Happy to hear. Okay, now this is very important. This is very important, guys. Okay, I want to share with you an extremely yesodistic chakira that emerges from what we just said. How could it be that I missed the carbon on Pesach Rishon for one reason, and it doesn't matter why I missed the second one? There's no karis. But there's another reason why I missed the carbon, and if I miss it for that reason, then I can still get karis if I miss it the second time around as well. What's the chiluk? So the chiluk is something that we need to ask ourselves anytime you have a patur. Right? We know that if an onus happens and it's out of my control, okay, you can't punish a guy for onus. It wasn't intentional, and he couldn't prevent it. But what does that mean? When you tell someone that you're potter due to an onus, you can really look at that in two different ways. Either you can say that when the onus occurs and I don't perform the mitzvah, essentially, it's as if there never was a chiv on me whatsoever. Right? It's not that I messed up, but it wasn't my fault. It's not considered a mess up altogether. Okay? You see the chiluk? It's not a very complicated chakira. The question is just whether or not the onus wipes away any vestige, any remnant of that obligation that was upon me, and it's as if nothing happened. Or do you say the chiv was there? You have a get out of jail free card, okay? But lemaisa, you went to jail in the first place, okay? What's an afkamina? An afkamina could be over here. If you have a situation of ones that is Tamei and Derech Rechoka, if he's exempt from the Karban Pesach and Pesach Rishon because he was far away, or he's Karban, or he was Tamei, even if he misses it the second time around, you're still Patur from Karis. What are you saying? You're saying that the Chiv Karis for missing the first Pesach Karban is non-existent because it can never come back to haunt him even if he missed the second opportunity. Because the onus of Tamei and Derech Rechoka is mafkia the chiv altogether. It's like I never had an obligation on the first Pesach whatsoever. Oh, but if it was another form of onus, or if it was shogeg, and that's the reason why I missed the Karban Pesach the first time around, then, Zok the Rambam, you can still get karis if you missed Pesach Sheni. What's the pshat? It means that when you missed the first Pesach, even though it was an onus, but the chiv was still hanging over your head, there was still this dark cloud over your head, and that dark cloud was waiting to see what you're going to do when Pesach Sheni comes. The patur was not absolute, as if there never was a chiv in the first place. The patur is in the balance because the chiv once existed, and the chiv is still, again, it's there, and it will come back to haunt you. If you miss Pesach Sheni intentionally, you miss the second time around, then the chiv karis kicks in again because it never really left. You had a patur. You put things on hold. You press pause. But once you press play again and you blew it, you didn't bring the carbon Pesach Sheni, Memela, the chiv of karis from the first Pesach is still applicable. Okay? Arya, make sense? Avram, good? Okay, you guys need to know. This Shaila, in general, in Shas, discussing the nature of the Patur of Ones, is found in the Sefer Asban D'Oraisa. Asman D'Oraisa is a small sefer written by Rabbi Yosef Engel. Yosef Engel lived about 150 years ago, a little bit less, 120 years ago, 130 years ago. He was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And the truth is some of the Yisodos, you know, will overlap. And the sefer, Asman D'Oraisa in particular, is siman after siman on important chakiras that, you know, find themselves all over Shas. And it's very important to be familiar with that sefer. Very, very Yisodistic. Achronos HaKakiris. Rav Shaftan quotes it all the time. And this is one of his most famous. I believe he suggests an interesting compromise. Maybe there's a difference. Listen to this, Sreli. A difference between a main Adam L'Chaver and a main Arm L'Makom. If it's between me and Hashem, and an onus happens, okay? So then Hashem can forgive me. But if it's something that I had to do for somebody else, right? I was on my way to perform the mitzvah b'kir cholim, and I didn't. because the weather was bad and the traffic and whatever, I couldn't get there. So Hashem, if I do a mitzvah, if I'm supposed to do a mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm unable to do so because of some onus, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, you know, I'll accept it as if you did. I know you tried. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masarif Machshavah Tova L'Maisa. But if you have some sort of obligation towards another person, then an onus happened, but you still didn't fulfill the obligation. Right? The mitzvah is not just me to do something. The mitzvah is for him to receive something. So I believe he suggests that that resolution. That would not be consistent with what we just said, because we're suggesting even in within the realm of Korban Pesach, but on the Lamakom, there could be aspects of either a Hafka and Gansen, total Hafka, or just a Patur that plays itself out when you get to Pesach Sheni. Okay, everyone good? Ready to go weiter? Okay, let's begin the Gemara. Itmar, Hayubidar Chachoka, Veshachtu, Vizarku Alav. Let's say you were far away. You lived in Ramat Beit Shemesh, okay? And you were supposed to be traveling in to Yerushalayim to bring the Karban. You had one lined up, and you had a whole chabura of people who you joined together with, and they went to Yerushalayim, and you didn't make it. You overslept, weren't feeling well, but Lamaisa, you're Derech Chokka, you have the Torah Derech Chokka, you didn't make it to Yerushalayim, Veshachtu Vizarku Alav, and they shechtu the Karban Pesach with you in mind, and they sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach with you in mind. Everything was executed as planned. The only problem is that you weren't there. You were supposed to be there, but you weren't a Derech Chokka. What happens? What happens? You see what we're asking? We know the pasuk says that if you're in Derech Chokka, you're potter from the Karban. But what if I did it anyway? Okay, that's the shayla. What if I did it anyway? So we have a machlokas amarayim. Rav Nachman amar hurtza. Rav Sheshes amar lo hurtza. What does the word hurtza mean? Anyone want to try to translate that? What's the shorish? It's not a difficult shorish.
Like needed.
Needed. Okay, so like tzorech, tzarich. I think you switched around, you jumbled up the letters a little bit. Here it's the resh comes before the tzadi. Resh tzadi, hey, it's more like wanting, right? Okay? When we say the words, yihu l'ratzon imrei fi, v'hegyon libi l'fanecha, yihu l'ratzon, what does that mean? You say that all the time. So what does it mean? Yihu l'ratzon imrei fi. Art scroll sitter.
It should be the will you. It should be the will of Hashem that he should accept, like what I'm saying.
No, there's no other verb in that. You l'ratzon imrei fi. My word should be l'ratzon imrei fi. V'hegyon libi, in the expressions of my heart. V'hegyon libi l'fanecha, before you. Hashem tshuva goli. There's no kabbalah. There's no additional verb there to say, right, what you're saying. The word l'ratzon in that context means to find it favorable. You l'ratzon imrei fi, my words should be considered favorable before you. Favorable means Hashem wants to hear them. Like we said, like ratzon, Hashem is interested in them. He finds them favorable. Okay? This is very important. Many reasons. It's a term we always find in the context of karbanos. Okay? Karbanos and tefillah, but that, you know, for that matter. You l'ratzon imrei fi. Hurtza, you see over here, the Gemara is saying, according to Rav Nachman, if he sent the Karban Pesach, Rav Nachman amar hurtza, Rav Sheshes amar lo hurtza. Rav Nachman says it has found favor, meaning that the Karban is a kasher Karban. There's ritzoi. And Rav Sheshes says, no, it's not acceptable. Rav Salvechik pointed out something else very important in Tefillah. Ever notice when you say Shemona Esrei, so you have a brach of Shema Koleinu. Shema Koleinu, Akash Baruch Hu, hear all of our Tefillahs. What's a bracha right after Shema Koleinu?
Ritzei.
What's the subject of the bracha Ritzei? What's it about? What's that bracha about?
Bringing back the Avodah.
Before you get to that, Ritzei, Hashem Elokeinu, Ba'amcha Yisrael, Uvesfil Asam, right? Then we say Vahashay, right? But that's secondary. First thing we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear our tefillos. I understand. What's the difference between Ritzei, which is focusing on our tefillos, and a moment before that, you just said Shema Koleinu. Same thing, right? Aryeh, this should have bothered you years ago, every time you daven. Right? It's a good kasha. So Rav Soloveitchik explains very simple. Shema Koleinu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my tefillos that I'm sharing with Ribbono Shel Olam. Ritzei is not simply hearing my tefillos. Ritzei is accept my tefillos in the place of a karbon. And that is the difference in the verb between Shema Koleinu and Ritzei. Make sense? Okay, so you keep that in mind. When you have a marv, when you say Shema Koleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my tefillos. Ritzei is, I wish there was a Beis HaMikdash. Please, Hashem, let this count as if I was offering a carbon to you. Okay? So, Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza, Rav Shishas Amar Lo Hurtza. Let's try to read. Maybe we'll come back to this next week, but let's at least get our feet wet. Okay? So, Rav Nachman says, if you sent the carbon Pesach with someone else, with a shliach, even though you're in a Derech Rechoka, the carbon is accepted. And you didn't have to. Could have just brought a Pesach Sheni. No. It's good. Rav Sheshes Amar Lo Hurtza. Rav Sheshes says, no, it's not acceptable. According to Rav Sheshes, get the impression, right? You're going to have to bring Pesach Sheni, even though you went through all the motions on Pesach Rishon, you sent it together with your friends, you have to bring a Karban next time anyway. So they're arguing over what is the status of someone who brought the Karban Pesach, even though they didn't have to. Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza, Mechasu Dechas Rachmana Alav. Rav Nachman says, the Svara is, why is the Karban accepted? Because mechas hu dechas rachmana alav. What does that phrase mean? Mechas hu dechas rachmana alav. Chas. What's the shortage of chas? Also, we say this all the time also. Chus v'rachem aleinu. Chus v'rachem. What does it mean, chus? Chever, pasha, tefillah. You say it all the time.
I think our soul turns like, be merciful and compassionate.
Good. Okay. Right? Chas v'shalom. Same idea. Okay? Compassion and peace. Chas v'shalom. So, the Torah is compassionate, so to speak. The Torah wants to give him a break. He's far away. And he can't bring the karban, so we'll give you a second chance. However, the Ovid, but if you went ahead and brought the karban anyway, tavo alav bracha, then, you know, you are gebenched. Yashakayach, you went above and beyond, of course we're going to count it. And Rav Sheshes says, no. Rav Sheshes Amar Lo Hurtza, Mircha Da'achi Rachmana Kitame. The Torah is not giving you a free ride. The Torah is pushing you off like someone who's tame. Unbelievable machlokes over here, Rabbi. So you hear what's going on? Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are arguing as to, it's funny, it's almost like what the pshat and the gzeres hakasav is. What's the svara behind the Torah giving you the second chance when it comes to Pesach Sheni? Rav Nachman says the reason why you have a second chance is because, you know, you tried, you're too far away, we'll let it slide, we'll give you another chance, Peseder. Rav Sheshes says, no, this is not like a free ride, this is a penalty. This is, actively, we are telling you, you are not entitled to bring the carbon on this occasion because you are too far away, and therefore we insist that you bring it on Pesach Sheni. Just like a Tameh doesn't have the option of bringing carbon on at the right time on Pesach Rishon, and he must bring it on Pesach Sheni, so too, the person who is B'derech HaChokah must bring it on Pesach Sheni as well. Okay? Rabosai, any questions?